I get five closing verses, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12. Seeing that then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished. But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the great blessing it is to know that we are related to you through the new covenant, through the precious blood of Christ that doesn't just cover sin, but takes it away forever. And Father, we thank you that we have this time this evening to meditate in this wonderful portion of thy word that teaches us the great superiority of the new covenant over the old. And Lord, we pray that as we consider these truths, that it would not just be information, but Lord, help us to appreciate what we really have in Christ. And we'll thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, we want to continue Paul's contrast that he's making here. He's contrasting the old covenant with the new. And he shows us how far superior what we have in Christ is to that of the Old Testament saints. And just for a quick review of what we've looked at so far, we noted that the Old Covenant kills. The New Covenant gives life. That's superior. He said the Old Covenant was a ministration of death, and yet the New Covenant is a ministration of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's far superior. By the way, that backwards K is not some secret code or anything. It's just that somebody got a hold of the magic marker here. Also, the Old Covenant was a ministration of condemnation, wherein the New Covenant is a ministration of righteousness. The Old Covenant could never produce righteousness. All it did was condemn. All it did was tell us that we are lost sinners on our way to hell. But the New Covenant, the precious blood of Christ, far surpasses the blood of bulls and goats. It can provide a righteousness. And while the Old Covenant was glorious, it was God's Word. It was holy, just, and true. There was nothing wrong with it. There was no fault in the covenant itself. And so it did have a sense of glory to it. But yet the New Covenant, Paul tells us, far exceeds in glory. And we also noted in verse 11 that the Old Covenant is to be done away. In fact, it is done away today. It's gone. We're not related to God through the Old Covenant. We're not related to God even through the Ten Commandments. That is not our rule of life. The Spirit of God is our rule of life. We live in the age of grace. And so the old is done away, but the new remains. And what I'd like to do tonight is, if we could look at some more contrast, and I want to look at some more background. Because Paul is really drawing 2 Corinthians 3 out of some history in the Old Testament from the book of Exodus. So I'd like for us to turn there for a minute to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33 and verses 9 and 10. Now, the Old Covenant was pictured by the way in which Moses spoke to the people. Remember how Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 3 that when Moses spoke with the people and when he mingled with the people, he had a veil upon his face. And let's look in Exodus chapter 33 in verses 9 and 10. And what we want to see here is that in the Old Covenant, the people did not come directly to God. Verse 9. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped, every man in his tent door. They stayed home. They did not have the kind of access to God that Moses did. They did not have entrance into the holy place or the most holy place as only the high priest did. Look over in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 30. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone. Moses was in the presence of God. And as he did, his face began to shine, radiate with a reflection of God's glory. And when he came down, it says, the people were afraid to come near to him. So there was this fear in the hearts of the people. They didn't have that direct access to God. And they were afraid of this glory of God, even as it was reflected in Moses' face. Look at another example in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, and this is when the Ten Commandments were given. Chapter 20 and verse 18. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightning and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they didn't draw nigh to God. Rather, when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. They were very much afraid. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove or to test you, that his fear may be for your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. So in the Old Testament, we see that the people did not directly come to God. They were afraid to come into his presence, and with good reason. If any of them entered into the most holy place, they would be killed instantly. They were not to come up the mount, or they would be killed. And all through the Old Covenant, there was a veil that separated God and the people. They did not have immediate and direct access to God under the Old Covenant. And Hebrews chapter 9 tells us that during those days, the way into the holiness was not a public thing. It was only the high priest, and only with the right sacrifice, and only on the Day of Atonement, or even he would be killed. So the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, was pictured by this veil that Moses wore in his face when he spoke with the people. And that pictured that there was a separation between the people and the glory of God that radiated from Moses' face. Something else pictured by Moses speaking to the people, and that is that there was a veil between the glory of God and the people. Now look in chapter 34, Exodus chapter 34, again, in verse 33. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. While Moses spoke with the people, and this is what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 3, and as he mingled with the people, he wore this veil. Now, there were several reasons for the veil, but one of them was that it pictured their inability to understand the glory of God. They were really separated from the glory of God, and this veil pictured that. And so in Moses' day, there was a veil over his face. Now turn back to 2 Corinthians 3 and see how Paul describes that for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's read again verses 14 and 15. Paul says, their minds were blinded. For until this day there remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. So there was a veil upon the face of Moses that separated the glory of God from the people. That is what existed in Moses' day. Today, and in Paul's day, Paul said there was now also a veil over the hearts of the Jews when they read the Old Testament. They were not able to see. They were not able to perceive. It was just as if their hearts are veiled. And in fact, Paul tells us in Romans that that is exactly the condition of the nation of Israel today. There is a veil over their hearts, and they cannot see the meaning of their own Bible, their own scriptures. And thirdly, this glory fades. And we saw this also last time in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 13. There we learned that Moses put this veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished. Moses did not want the people to see this glory fading away. And the people did not see it fade. Now, they didn't understand the significance of this fading glory. And he tells us in verse 13, they didn't understand the end in the sense of the purpose of that which was going to be abolished. So when Moses wore the veil upon his face, the people were prevented from seeing this glory from the old covenant fading away. They didn't get the purpose of it. They were blinded to the real meaning. They didn't understand that it was temporary, that the law wasn't going to last forever. And they didn't understand that it had only a fading glory. They really did not see the very purpose of their own law. And this was pictured by Moses wearing a veil when he spoke with the people and when he mingled with the people. That's how he spoke to the people. But yet, in this story that Paul brings to our attention in 2 Corinthians 3, there's something even more significant, and that is the way Moses spoke with God. When Moses spoke with the Lord, unlike the people, Moses spoke directly to God. And this is to picture for us the blessing of the new covenant. And that's the blessing that we have. When Moses went up to the mount face to face with the Lord, that pictures for us this direct, immediate access that we have to God. And let's go back and look at that again in Exodus chapter 33. A couple of verses in Exodus chapter 33. In verse 9. It came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle that the cloudy pillar descended. And what was that cloudy pillar? Shekinah glory. This was the glory of God that Moses had access to and the people did not. Here comes the Shekinah glory of God descending, and it stood at the door of the tabernacle, and God spoke with Moses. Look down in verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh to his friend. What a passage. Now, Paul uses this fact to illustrate the direct, the open, the bold access and approach that we have to God under the new covenant. The veiled face pictured the access that the Israelites had to God under the old covenant. They were separated from it. They couldn't really pierce through it and see and perceive and understand that glory. They were blinded, they were veiled, and they are today. But under the new covenant relationship to God, there is a direct approach. And that's what was pictured when Moses spoke directly with the Lord. No veil existed between Moses and God. And look in that same chapter, the next chapter, Exodus chapter 34 and verse 34. Now when Moses spoke with the people, he put on the veil. But look what he tells us in verse 34. When Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took off the veil. Or rather, he took the veil off until he came out. So here's a big contrast. When he spoke with the people, there was this wall, this veil that separated between the people and the glory of God. But yet, when Moses spoke with the Lord, it was face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And there was no veil in between. Turn back now to chapter 33. In verse 18, Exodus 33 and verse 18, and if you'll bear with me, I'd like to read to the end of the chapter. Stay awake. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Here's Moses speaking to the Lord. And he says, God, I want to see your glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness, this is the Lord replying, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Now Moses prayed, his desire was to see the glory of God, and God is going to grant that request, except there's a limitation. He cannot see God's full glory or he would die. No man in this present body could ever see the full dazzling glory of God. But God is going to answer Moses' prayer and give him a glimpse of that glory. And so he says in verse 21, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts. He's going to see the trail, if you will, of the glory of God as it passes by. Not the full glory, or he would never live. But my face shalt thou not see. And so here we have Moses praying to God that he might see the glory of God. And this was what God granted to him. He saw God's glory. He spoke to God with an unveiled face. There was nothing between God and the Lord. And now Paul is going to tell us that in our new relationship to God under the new covenant, that the veil is removed as well. We have that close, intimate, face-to-face relationship with the living God that Old Testament saints could only dream of. And so there was no veil on Moses' face when he spoke with the Lord. And that pictures for us the great blessing in our relationship. And also, there was on Moses' face an increasing glory. As Moses entered into the presence of the Lord, when he first went into the presence of the Lord, there was no shining of his face. He had zero radiance on his face. But as he spoke there with God, it began to radiate, it began to shine more and more. And as Moses was in the presence of God, there was an increase in the glory that radiated from his face. So Moses went from zero glory to much glory, radiating from his face. Now, unfortunately, this was going to fade away in time, and that was one of the purposes of the veil, to shade that fading glory from the children of Israel. But notice in Exodus 34 and verse 29, when Moses came down from the mountain, he did not, at the end of the verse, he did not realize that his face was shining as he talked. So there was a transformation that took place in Moses' face as he was in the very presence of God. And all of this is to be a teaching tool for us. When Moses spoke with the people, the glory of God on his face was veiled from the eyes and the understanding and the heart of the people of the Old Covenant. And that's what life was like under the Old Covenant. There was no immediate access to the glory of God. There was no immediate access to God himself. And there was a veil there. The Jews did not understand their scriptures and the real intent of the law. Or they never would have said, all that the Lord hath said, we will do. They never would have said that. And so, there are some lessons that Paul wants us to learn from this story in the Old Testament. And now we want to look at the application that Paul makes from that. So let's go back to 2 Corinthians again, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And Paul is going to draw some very important lessons from this Exodus story. The veil was most significant, both on the face of Moses and in the temple. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, let's read again verses 13 through 15. Get in the right chapter first. Verse 13. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end or the purpose of that which was abolished, meaning the law. But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. So let's look, first of all, at the wearing of the veil. When Moses wore that veil, Paul makes some applications to us. And the first thing is, he wants us to know, that Israel was blinded to the real meaning of the law. Turn to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, and verses 31 and 32. Right from the very beginning, as soon as God gave the Israelites the law, they misunderstood its intent. From day one, they thought that they would be able to keep the law and obtain righteousness. And that's why they strove so hard to do it. And they worked hard. But Paul tells us they were never able to obtain that which they sought after. Verse 31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, and they tried hard. The Pharisees were not playing games with religion. Religion was their life. They had religion up to here. They did their very best. And that was the problem. They were trying to do it themselves. He says, Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, yet they did not attain to the law of righteousness. And wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. The stumbling stone, Jesus Christ. They thought that they could keep the law and produce righteousness and obtain eternal life. And yet the law was never given for that purpose. Right from the very beginning, they didn't get the meaning of the law. They attached all their hopes of eternal life to a law that could never produce it. And that was their fatal mistake. God waited millennia for that to transpire, for them to get the message. And to this day, they have not learned that lesson. Now, if the law could produce life, then Christ died in vain. That's what Paul tells us in Galatians. So God was very patient. God was long-suffering with the Jews during the Old Covenant. But they were blinded. And Moses tells us that they were blinded in his day. And Paul tells us that they're still blinded today. Look in Romans 11, in verses 7 through 10. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. And notice this, the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. This is the sad condition of the nation of Israel today. They are blinded. They are blinded. They are veiled to the meaning of their own scriptures. And Moses is read every day. It says that in the book of Acts. Moses is read every day in their synagogues, and they never understand the meaning of the words. So Paul tells us that Israel was blinded in Moses' day, pictured by the wearing of the veil. And Israel is still blinded to the reality, the truth, the meaning of their own law, their own scriptures. And look also in Romans 11 in verse 25. Paul continues this concept of the blindness of Israel. He says, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Here Paul tells us that Israel is blinded, but notice two important factors that he involves here. First of all, it's only a partial blindness today. Not every Jew is blinded. Some of them have turned to the Lord and the veil has been taken away. Some have become Christians and are born again just like we are. So it is only a partial blindness. And it's also only a temporary blindness. Israel is blinded only until the times of the Gentiles should be fulfilled. And so every Jew should shout hallelujah when they hear that. Their nation has been judicially blinded by God throughout this age. But yet, the offer of salvation, the precious blood of Christ, is available to each and every individual Jew today as well. Now, this is what was pictured for us by the wearing of the veil, that Israel was blinded to the meaning of their own law. Now, back in 2 Corinthians again, in verse 3, chapter 3, rather, and in verse 13, Paul says that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished. They didn't get it that the law was temporary, that it was going to be abolished, that it was passing away. And there are several other things that Israel didn't understand. They didn't understand that the law was designed to be a schoolmaster to point them unto Christ. They couldn't see that in the law. They were trying to do it. Instead of saying, Lord, help me, I can never do this. And that should have pointed them to Christ. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 3 that that was the purpose of the law, and Israel was blinded to that purpose. It was a schoolmaster unto Christ. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 4 that Christ is the end of the law to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. They didn't understand that either. Israel was blinded to the fact that when the Messiah came, the old covenant would be abolished. And that's what Paul tells us in verse 13. They couldn't see that. And that was pictured by the veil. And so when Messiah came on the scene, when Jesus Christ came on the scene, he was like the dazzling bright sun coming up in the daytime. And when that happens, the man standing there with that little candle just fades into insignificance. And that's what the old covenant law was. They were like men wandering in darkness, and that God gave them some glory. It was a candle. It was light. There was nothing wrong with it. Light can't be impure. It was perfectly pure light. But when Jesus Christ came on the scene, when the seed was born, when he died on the cross and shed his blood, the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ causes the old covenant to fade into insignificance. And they didn't see that. The true meaning of the law was blinded to Jews and to the old covenant. And to this very day, they're clinging on to shadows when Christ is here. They're clinging on to tradition. They're clinging on to symbols and shadows when they should let go of it all. God is done with it. And most importantly, they were blinded to Christ. Look in verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 3. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. Now, what did Moses write about? Well, let's turn to John chapter 1 for a minute. You know, we read over and over again that Jesus Christ was the stumbling block to the Jews. They didn't understand that his coming meant the end of the old covenant and the beginning of the new. They were blinded to that. They could not see Christ in their own scriptures. Now in John chapter 1 and verse 45 we read, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth. What did Moses write about? He wrote about Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus is all through the Old Testament, and especially the writings of Moses. Look in chapter 5 and verse 39. "Search the Scriptures," Jesus said, "for in them ye think that ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Now, what Scriptures was he speaking about? Not the book of Revelation. He was talking about the Old Testament, the Jewish Scriptures. And what was the purpose of that, of those books? To testify of Christ. The law was a schoolmaster unto Christ. And they should have seen Christ all through, but they were blinded. Look in the same chapter, John 5, and verses 46 and 47. "For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" Moses wrote about Christ all through the Pentateuch. But Paul tells us Israel looked right at it and they couldn't see it. The Israelites read the words, but it didn't sink in that this is speaking about the Christ, Jesus, the Messiah. And there's so much about Christ in the law. But Christ was the end of the law. And the problem was that this blindness in the minds and hearts of the Israelites was not some innocent blindness. They just weren't smart enough to see it. It had nothing to do with intelligence. It had to do with the heart. It was because their heart was hardened and calloused. They tried to keep the law. They tried to produce their own righteousness. And it was pride that said, "I can do it." When God really wanted them to be humbled and look at the law and say, "I can't do it. Lord, save me." So when Moses is read today, we can see Christ very clearly because the veil has been removed. But Jews today, reading their own scriptures, are still blinded. And you know, in a very real sense, there is a veil upon the hearts of all unsaved men today when the scriptures are read. They can see the words, they can understand the meaning of the sentence, but the spiritual import of those words is blinded to them. "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, their foolishness unto him." And so this veil pictures that Israel was blinded to the meaning of their own laws. But the removal of the veil, this was most significant. And turn again to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. And here Paul says, "Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away." What a promise. In the previous verse, Paul said, when Jews read the law, there's a veil over their heart. Now, in Moses' day, there was a veil over his face, so they couldn't perceive the meaning of the law, the fading of it. Today, he says, there's a veil over their heart, over their minds, over their eyes, their understanding. And Jews cannot read the scriptures with understanding today because of that veil. "Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away." And that's the good news of the gospel. The problem with this verse is, what does the "it" refer to? In the context, it could either refer to the nation of Israel, because he's talking about the nation. It could also refer to an individual Jew, or it could refer to the heart of a Jew. But any way you look at it, they're all true. When the heart of a blinded Jew looks to Jesus Christ in faith, God takes away that veil. It's as simple as look and live. When they look at Christ in faith, that's what they need to do. It's not going to help them to try to study the Bible all day long. They're never going to come to the knowledge of the truth that way. Now, sure, they need to know the scriptures. But what Paul is saying, what a Jew needs to do today is look to Jesus Christ in faith. And when they do, all the confusion from the Word of God is going to be removed. Jews study the Bible like crazy today. There are Jewish men who spend their whole lives, they're absorbed in the Old Testament, and they're never going to get its meaning until they look to Jesus Christ, till they look to the cross. And when they do, God will take away that blindness and it will all fit together. Oh yeah, now I get it. He's the one we pierced. And that was pictured by the removal of the veil. So when Moses spoke with God, he took off the veil. He came directly into the presence of God, and so can we. And when a Jew today is willing to turn to the Lord, that veil is going to be removed. And that's going to mean a whole new kind of access unto God. And what a great blessing God has given to all of us, and especially to the Jews today. All the confusion and misunderstanding of the Scriptures, it would be so easy. Just look to Jesus Christ in faith. Don't complicate it. And all the blindness is gone. You know, this was pictured for us in Luke chapter 24. Do you remember after the crucifixion? There were two disciples walking in the road to Emmaus, and they were discouraged. They were upset because Jesus was crucified. And they were wondering, how can this be? We thought he was going to establish the kingdom, and now he's dead. And then they said, and we've heard these rumors that he's alive. And suddenly this other man started walking with them and explaining the Scriptures to them. And it said that he opened up the Scriptures. And in fact, he rebuked them. And he said, you fools! How could you be so dull of hearing and seeing in the Old Testament Scriptures? Christ needs to die, and then comes the glory. And as he began to open up the Scriptures, the Old Testament, to them, it says their hearts burned inside, and they got it. And what a beautiful picture when they came face to face with Jesus Christ. The veil and confusion was gone. They understood who he was. It all fit together. And then he vanished. They didn't see him after that. But what a beautiful picture of what a Jew needs to do today. Just look to the cross and be saved. And when that takes place, there will be a great boldness. Remember their approach to God in the Old Testament? They trembled. They feared. They didn't dare come near Moses. They didn't dare come near the mount where God was. And when God spoke to Moses, they all cowered in the doorways of their houses. They were afraid of God. But what a great privilege it is to know him through the blood of the new covenant, knowing that our sins are gone. They're not just covered, they're gone. And that means that we have a bold access to him. We can come boldly unto the throne of grace. We don't have to cower in the background. We don't have to ask someone else to speak to God for us. There is a directness, there is a boldness in our approach to God. And that's why Paul said in verse 12, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. He didn't have anything to hide as Moses did. There was no veil on Paul's face. There was great boldness. And what Moses did in speaking to God face to face as a man speaks to his friend, that is an illustration of the great relationship that we can have to the living God under the blood of the new covenant. And so there is a great boldness. And lastly, order. Consider the order. First, the heart needs to turn to the Lord, and then the confusion is gone. And isn't it very often the case that we think if we can just explain all of these Scriptures just right to a person, they'll get saved, they'll see it. We can remove the veil if we explain it just right, and if our words are so perfect. And it's almost as if we're doing the converting. But that's not what Paul says in verse 16. He says, when the heart shall turn to the Lord, all the confusion is gone. That's really what men need. Simple faith in Jesus Christ. A man doesn't have to have all the deep theological issues settled in his mind before he comes to Christ. What he needs to do is put his faith in Jesus. He needs to look at the cross in faith. And God's order is faith first, then comes the understanding and the growth, then comes the maturity. The natural man isn't able to understand spiritual things. And that was also pictured by the transformation on Moses' face. When he went into the presence of God, Moses looked at the Lord, and as he looked at the Lord face to face, a transformation took place. The veil was removed. He took off the veil, and then he could see clearly the glory of God. And as he did, his face began to increase in glory. There was a transformation, and that's just the application Paul makes at the end of this chapter. That's the great privilege we have. We can come directly into God's presence. The veil is removed. We can see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And as we come in that sense, there will be a spiritual transformation from glory unto glory. And so one more final verse, Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll really close with this. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. This is a great privilege that we don't often appreciate as we should. Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies with pure water. And you see, this is by a new and living way in verse 20, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Under the old covenant, there was a veil, a massive veil, an extremely thick veil that could not be ripped at all. But yet when Jesus died on the cross, that veil that separated the presence of God, Shekinah glory in the holy place, the most holy place, that veil was rent in two, which pictured access into the holy place under the new covenant. As soon as the blood was shed, it's finished. The old covenant's abolished, and now there is a new and living way, direct, bold access to the face of God. We can speak to him as a man speaks to his friend, and we can draw near because we know that our sins are gone. We don't have to fear and tremble, worried that we're going to be judged for our sins. They're gone. And that's the glory of the new covenant. And we should appreciate what we have in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the great privilege to live in this age when we can know our sins are gone forever, that we can have a perfectly pure conscience before the living God, that we can come into your presence with boldness, bringing our requests and our burdens to thee. Father, we thank you for this great privilege. Help us, Lord, to appreciate what we have in Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to be faithful to share it with others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sing a couple of times through a song that's called "Oh, How He Loves You and Me." How many of you have never ever heard of that? Never heard of that? So at least half of you know that one. Why don't we just remain seated so you can at least see me?